this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I want to welcome a very close friend of mine as well, Jules and Chad. I think he's maybe with the baby, but the first sermon that I preached, it was quite amazing what God does. Well, not the first, but the one earlier in the year. I had a very good friend of mine, Ernst, who I met in London. He was praying for me, for my salvation. And now the second time preaching, Jules is here. And Jules was even before Ernst. Jules and my sister were in res together in Stellenbosch, and her brother's my age. And they used to pray for us, you know, and I think I was that person that used to think, I don't know if she'll ever come to the Lord, you know. But what they used to do was, I don't know if you're from Cape Town, there's a club in Camps Bay called Le Med. And that's normally on a Sunday night. So we couldn't drive because we didn't have cars or licenses or whatever. So we'd said, no, but Margot, my sister, and Jules must take us to this club. And they said, no, we're willing, but then we're going somewhere else beforehand. And then we'd find ourselves at his people church on a Sunday night, going to Le Med afterwards. But that was awesome because they allowed us to be and they allowed us to enjoy, you know, do whatever we wanted to do, but sowing the seeds, you know, not trying to place performance on us. So, yeah. I just want to start off with prayer. Father, the first thing on my heart this morning is actually just for us to put our faith together for the people in the Philippines, Lord. The whole week, Lord, I've just been thinking about them and the amount of deaths and the natural disaster there, Lord. And I've just been thinking about the orphans and where both of them one day had their mother and father, and some of them have lost both. And Father, I just thank you that you step in as the perfect Father, that you come and you cover us, Lord, and you provide a place for us to just hide in your arms. And yeah, I thank you for that is the message for today, Lord, that we can know that there's a safe place, Lord, that is in your arms. And we delight in you, God. We just declare, Lord, today that there's no mountain too high, Father, or valley too deep, or yeah, whatever, Lord, that separates us from your love, God. And we declare and we welcome the Holy Spirit just to come. Yeah, just open up our hearts. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Thank you for your peace. Father, you know that this word that I'm going to preach, Lord, it's your word. It's from the Bible, Father, which is Jesus. And only you can bring the anointing that breaks the yoke. So, Father, I commit my heart, and I thank you that you will gather my emotions right now. and I thank you for your love, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I am slightly emotional, but that's okay. And someone once said, you know, when the woman gets emotional and she's preaching, then you can shut off. So I'm going to just control these. I'm going to ask God to just come and bring peace in my heart. But I think it's because this message that I'm going to preach is so close to my heart. It is ultimately my testimony, and it's something that God has reminded me about in the last sort of 2-3 months. Sorry, my name's Lauren, by the way. So I'm sure I know most of you, but hi. Okay, so I've titled the sermon Hide and Seek, and you'll see there the main scripture is, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And when I first started preparing for the sermon, I had the main scriptures, but I wasn't quite sure how it was all going to come together. And I'd only normally at the end get the title of the sermon. And it was quite in the early on that the Lord, you know, gave me the title of the sermon, Hide and Seek. But it didn't quite tie into, you know, the scriptures and what the message was about. But he's faithful, and he revealed it in the right time. But I was thinking about the game, Hide and Seek. We all know that. We've all played it. And there's sort of two situations that in which you can find yourself while playing this game. And the first is not a very pleasant one. And the second one is a very safe 1. And I don't know if any of you have, I'm sure maybe just the ladies or the men won't admit to it, but lying in the bed, in your bed at night and you hear noises and you're just convinced that there's someone in this house and you start planning where you're going to hide. Okay. And that hide and seek is one where you don't want to be found. You're lying, you think you're in the cupboard. I've never actually gone to hide, but you lie there and you're bound by fear. And if you are found in that situation, you don't want to be in that person's arms. You know, it's a fearful situation. And then the other situation is a child with their father. Absolute excitement, joy, it's a game, you want to be found. When you are found, it is normally resulting in a hug, you know, and it's a safe place. It's a place of love and acceptance. And the Lord just showed me that it's the same game, but it's two very different situations. So I'm going to get back to that. Just remember that, but only right at the end of the sermon. Ephesians 4 verse 1 is now the main scripture, which actually my fiance Stefan, sounds so good, my fiance. Woo! about 2 months ago, he sent me the scripture and he said he really feels it's on, you know, God's heart for me. And I read it and I thought, sure, you know, my old personality, not personality, my old self, would think, now you've got to walk worthy. You know, I beseech you, you've got to walk worthy. Come, lift up your socks, start performing to walk worthy. And the Lord was like, you know, where's this coming from? You know, you've had a revelation of me as your father and your identity. So why is this performance still there? And the Lord just came to do a work in me, over the last 2 months on just touching on certain things of aspects of fear and slavery that have still been there. And I want to open up your heart. I want to ask you to open up your hearts. And even if you've known the Lord for a very long time, that the work is continuous. You know, he does this work as a father, for the rest of, you know, rest of time. But the thing that Stefan said was, it starts with therefore. So that means you need to go look at the previous scriptures. But if we go to the next slide, you'll see what I'm talking about walking worthy is not so much now what you need to perform and what you need to do, but walking worthy in terms of you have freedom and confidence as a child to come into the Lord's presence. You have, you know, and that allows us to live a life of faith. It allows us to focus not on ourselves, but focus on others and live a supernatural life. And ultimately, as Jan George said, and that's such a confirmation, is to actually see Jesus. So that's the, when I think of walking worthy, of the calling, that calling is who we are and not so much what we're going to do one day. So I went to go and look at the previous scripture, which is now Ephesians 3. I don't know if you can see much there, but maybe you can turn to your Bibles with me. and let's go to Ephesians 3. And I just want to highlight, if we look at the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians unfolds a process by which God is bringing the church to its destined purpose in Christ. So this is the foundation of what the Lord gives us. In Ephesians is, you know, it has the scriptures of adoptions as sons, by Jesus Christ, God's workmanship. And those are the types of scriptures that we get in Ephesians. So it's a very encouraging, it's a very uplifting thing where God's saying, well, I will release you into the destined purpose as the bride of Christ. And I give you what you need to be able to walk worthy. So if we read together from verse 12, okay, you can't really see the slides. So I'm just going to read. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Okay. So in faith in him, we may approach God, not in ourselves. May we approach God, but in faith, with faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So I just want to actually start off with the good news. We can walk worthy in confidence and peace and freedom and have a supernatural life because there is a foundation of love. If we are rooted and established in that love, that is from where we walk. That is the groundwork. And it's amazing that the Lord says, but faith in him gives us confidence in the Lord. And, you know, he strengthens us with power in our inner being. So the performance and the slavery thing, you know, and operating out of a place of, you know, of this is what I have to the table is not what actually adds the ability for him to do immeasurably more. He says, I do immeasurably more because my love is rooted in your heart. My love is as wide and deep and high and everything else. And that is the foundation. And when I read this, the thing that the Lord took me to was, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love. So when I look at rooted and established, I see a house and I see an establishment, like the foundation is love. That is what we are grounded in. That is what causes us to be able to build a house, is this establishment of love. And I actually, I preached this sermon in Pretoria 2 weeks ago, and before that morning, God reminded me of the song. I don't know if you guys know Salty, the Blue Book. Did anyone ever know that Blue Book? Okay. So sing along with me. Okay, I'm going to sing a song. Yes, I am. It goes like this. Goes, don't build your house on a sandy land. Don't build it too near the shore. Well, it might look kind of nice, but you'll have to build it twice. You'll have to build your house once more. All together now. Got it. You just like a southern, you know, southern. Yeah, it's good things. And then it's like, you got to build your house upon a rock. Make a good foundation in a solid spot. Because the storms are going to come and go, but the peace of God is what you're going to know. So I love singing in front of people and stuff. Even though my voice, yeah, whatever. So then I look at, okay, but what is, if there's a foundation of love, there's got to be another foundation that we build our house upon. And that's the foundation of fear. So I just realized I've been saved for 10 years. The Lord has done such a massive work in my heart, especially in terms of like him being my father in the first 7 years of me being saved. But over the last 2-3 months, it was as if this fear crept in, and it was like, who, you know, am I operating as a daughter? What is going on? And the Lord showed me certain aspects to the way I was approaching life, the way I was approaching decisions, the way I was approaching other people that showed there was fear. And it wasn't love that I was actually operating. It wasn't the father heart, this love that is rooted deep within me that has been through the cross and through Jesus coming to die for me and actually wipe away everything that has made me available to step into the throne room of God and connect with him, that love, somewhere along the line, this fear had crept in. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to look at a foundation of fear and look at a foundation of love. And I'm going to ask that you try and see, you know, while I'm talking, maybe there's certain aspects of what I'm going to say that you think, sure, but I actually still do that. And that doesn't mean your foundation is love. I mean, fear. It might just mean that there's certain aspects that you need to actually let go of and actually invite God to say, but in this area of my life, the foundation is not love. It's not a father that completely has given everything for me to be able to, you know, to live an extraordinary life, to allow him to come and do immeasurably more. So the first one, okay, you guys can just look at each other and say, is your foundation fear or love? Let's wait and see. Okay, so the first one is, you can't see it there, I'm not sure, but fear looks to the voice of man, okay? And often this is in a situation where you've got to make a big decision. The Lord is coming and he's laying something on your heart and you're thinking, oh dear, this is way beyond me. I need everyone around me support in order for me to take the step of faith. I don't know if, has anyone ever felt like that? You want mom's approval, dad's approval, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, work colleagues, everyone. But yet that still small voice inside of you has already given you that confirmation of what this is what God is saying. But yet you're going, but if I have their approval and if I have this one's go ahead, then at least, you know, there's a back door because I can say, but they all agreed with me, you know, or it just, it tends to, you try and build your confidence to make this step of faith if you have the voice of man agreeing with what God is. Often, I hate to say it, but the enemy uses the people closest to you to actually sow fear in your life. And that's hard because you think, but how can they not agree with me? God, I want to honor them. I want to honor them, but yet they're not. And God's saying, but, and actually, the Lord just showed me this thing because with my parents, I wanted to honor them. I wanted to honor them with decisions that I've had to make recently. And God actually said, by honoring me and my voice, you are honoring them. Even if they don't agree right now, I will turn their hearts. You know, he says in his word, he says, I have the heart of the king in my hands. He can turn the heart of the king wherever, but are we willing to be obedient to the voice of God, even if the people around us are not, you know, on the same page? So as I said there, the love aspect is looks to the voice of God. I've got the scripture Isaiah 55 verse 11 that says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the things which I sent it. That is such an amazing thing that we can have confidence in that. Like the Lord is saying, if I've said something, if I've called you, if I've spoken over you that your mother and father's relationship will be restored, it will return void. Even if the voices around don't say that. The second one is joy based on the natural versus love, which is joy based on the character of God through an intimate relationship with him. And often for myself, what I was saying was, okay, God, but you're being a disciplining father. You're wanting to build character within me. You're wanting to establish something. But if I know, you know, if in the natural, I know what the outcome's going to be, then I'm willing to go through this, you know, and my joy will be based on the circumstances that are currently happening around me versus, okay, but God, I know the freedom that's going to come, you know, so I know that I can embrace it and I can have joy because you are good. Your character is good. And that only comes through an intimate relationship with him. And the scripture that I have there is, didn't write it here. You all know it. Someone help me, but I'm going to read it. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet and he will make me walk on high places. First person to quote that scripture gets... Okay, I didn't have it in my notes, but I was one step ahead. You see there, I had it all along. Habakkuk 3. I was going to say Ecclesiastes, but... And that's such an awesome scripture. Though I look at the natural, and there's no sheep in the pen. You know, there's no blossoms on the tree. There's no figs. But yet, I'm going to rejoice in God because I know my salvation. I know he is good. I know what he has brought me from. You know, I know the healing that I've received and the fact that his love is enduring. It's not inconsistent like the love I've known. It's not dependent on action. You know, it is just true and real and it's everlasting. And that's the love that gives me a joy in spite of our circumstances. Because we so get swayed by the natural. I don't know if you guys can agree, but when it's tough at work and there's pressure and you've got a difficult boss and things are, then it takes time for us to go, but hold on, let me lift my eyes and see. Okay, so the next one is, fear looks at its own ability and love looks at the call from God. And there I actually want to talk about our engagement story. A little bit of a, just one piece of it. Otherwise, we'd be here forever. But Stefan, we flew to Cape Town, took a road trip to Stillby, and had a very romantic dinner on the Saturday night. All my favorite flowers on the table. We were the only people in the restaurant. 3-course meal. I mean, everything you can think. Absolutely. And I was thinking, wow, sure. Because we went down for our 1-year anniversary. So he could hide everything around our 1-year anniversary. But I went to bed that night and, you know, there's no ring on my finger or anything. And though I hoped for it, you know, it was one of those things of, Lord, you know, you do everything. Your timing is perfect. So the next morning I get this, he comes into my room with coffee and rusks and this massive protea at 5:00 and it's dark outside. And I look and I think, are you wearing a second skin? Oh, no, it's a polar neck. I was like, I've never seen you wear a polar neck. I was like, oh no, wait, it's a second skin. And he gives me my own second skin and he's like, will you come rowing with me? And I'm like, on the sea or on the lagoon? Because the sea's got big waves and it's dark outside. And, anyway, so I agreed and I am someone for adventure and I am someone for, I love something that's out of the ordinary and something different. And by the time we got down to the beach, because he'd said it would be like by the time we got down to the beach, which it was, and we got into this kayak, but all I could think of was the guy that got eaten by a shark the month before in Jeffrey's Bay. And I was sitting in the front of the kayak and these waves were just huge. And the first time we went out, I was just bound by fear. I couldn't actually row. Like I couldn't add much value to this rowing. Because it was just, I was looking to my own ability. And Stefan was very, you know, I think he worked his arms off at the back there. But it was just this thing of, I couldn't enjoy it. I was looking to myself. I was looking to everything else, but the fact that I should have trusted him in the situation. So first time round, we get to literally the last wave before, you know, on the other side, what is shore break or something where it doesn't crash anymore. And this wave crashes. And the kayak goes down to the sea, out to the beach. And there we are swimming back to the beach. And I'm thinking, okay, this is cool. But I got onto the beach and I just thought, Lauren, what is up with you? You know, do you not trust him? Stefan has been going to Stillby his whole life. He knows the waves. He knows the sharks. He's not going to put me in. He has this stare, you know, when he's on the kayak, he looks at the shark and it's just like, whoa! No, not quite. But it's this thing of, I just repented of the fear in my heart and I repented of not trusting him. And it's the same with God. God's not going to take us into situations like Peter. You know, when Peter was on the boat, what gave him the confidence to do a supernatural thing of walking on water? It was the call of God. You know, it was God saying, come. And then he could walk on water. But as soon as he looked down, he looked at the waves around him, that's when he started sinking, when he looked to his own ability. And that is, there's a foundation of love that God is saying, but I'm calling you to greater things. I'm calling you to the extraordinary. I'm calling you to step out and don't look at your own ability. The next one is fear looks. Okay, hold on. The next one, number 4. Oh, the action of fear is to control and defend. Okay. I'm not sure of what's coming. I'm not sure of my heart and how my heart is going to be able to handle the situation. Or, you know, I'm fearful of financial failure or, generational curses from the past or whatever. So I'm going to try and control as much as I can. Whatever I can, I'm going to try and just make it, you know, always have a back door. Just there's a back door. The other side of it is to defend. When you're fearful of taking a step of faith, you'll defend to people why it's from God versus just a confidence of peace in knowing the Lord. This is what God has told me and this is what he's called me for. So I don't need to defend myself to anyone. I can walk in boldness. The love aspect of the action is to surrender and to trust. And it's that place of, because I know the character of God, because I know he's come through for me so many times. I know that if he says in the word he is faithful, then I can surrender. I don't need to know. You know, I don't need to have the full picture. I don't need to have plan A, B, or C, because he might be doing something now that the calling of God or the character or the deliverance or the freedom or the reconciliation that he's pointing towards is left, and he's calling you to go right. And you think, but how are these two going to tie up? You know, you're at the T junction. He's saying go right, but Lord, and he's like, just watch, just hold on, my child. You know, the paths do meet eventually, but along this path, there's a cliff and there's a view of a sunset, and there is amazing things that I want to show you. And that's what I need you to see in order to get back on. And that's something that so difficult for us and so difficult for me, specifically to let go of control and go, you know, Lord, I don't know where the finances are going to come from. I don't know, you know, how things are going to work out, but I'm surrendering in this moment. And, how am I doing for time? Sure. So one of this situation, I'm going to share very, going to be very honest with this one. But what happened was, Stefan and I went to go visit my sister and them in London in the beginning of, anyway, August sometime. Before that, God had, every time someone would pray for me, I'd feel like my knees are going weak and, like, you know, that thing of falling over in the spirit, which can be quite freaky to some people. And I kept on controlling it. I kept on, every time someone would pray for me and I'd feel like I just step up and I'd be like, I'm not going to look silly in front of people. I'm just going to, you know, control the situation, control what the Holy Spirit's doing. And it literally happened about 3 or 4 times. Anyway, we go to this conference, Holy Trinity Brompton Church Conference. And, you know, Brian and Jen Johnson from Bethel, they have an afternoon session, and Jen's just saying of how the Lord challenged her to completely let go of control, you know, to dance as the Holy Spirit leads her, and just to be free, to allow God to come and do whatever he needs to do in her heart, and how that has allowed an intimacy with her and God. And she had to forget what the people around her were saying. And together with this thing of wanting to fall over, the Lord was calling me to dance in front of church, dance in his presence, dance. And I was also like, no, but it doesn't suit me, God. You know, then I have to dress appropriately so that I don't flash to everyone, you know, and I have to, what if, you know, all these things in my mind of how I can control what God, the Holy Spirit, wants to do. And that night I went forward and I just laid down this control, and the lady prayed for me. Well, I was on my back, and just the peace that I've experienced. And there must have been about 500 people that went forward for prayer that night. You know what it's like when you stand there and you're like this and everyone's praying next to you and there's not much space. And that's what it was like when I closed my eyes for the lady to pray. And then I'd fallen over and I had my eyes closed and I just said, Lord, if there's a space around me, I will dance for you. I will let go of my control. I will let go of what the people think. I'll dance. And I opened my eyes, a nice big space around me. And I just started dancing, and there was such a freedom that came from it. There was such a thing of, it doesn't matter. And do you know how many people came to me after that and said, do you know how much your dancing blessed me? Do you know how much it just showed me, it stirred a hope within me for freedom? You know, I want to do that. And, sorry, I'm going to go on to the next point, and then we're going to carry on. But last thing, I then went, after this, we came back to South Africa, we went down to the conference in Stellenbosch, and I went forward for prayer again, but now it's my family members. You know, it's now chauffeur people. I can fall over in London where no one knows me. And I go forward, and so waar is vrachtig. What is that Afrikaans? Is it right? Okay. You should see Stefan's mom and myself having conversations on the phone. It's amazing. Like I said last week, I wanted to marry an Afrikaans man, but we talk Afrikaans English. It's really great. We understand each other, which is the most important thing. But so CS prays for me, and I fall over. And I'm thinking, God, you know, this is another measure of letting go of control. And Stefan had lunch with CS, or breakfast, a week later. And CS said to Stefan that what had happened that day was a girl, for the first time, had said yes to the calling of God in her life. And she went forward for prayer. And she said, God, I will say yes, but I don't want this people falling over. You know, she said, if someone falls over, then I know it's a sign from you that you are calling me. And I fell over right in front of her. And she actually didn't go forward for prayer because she didn't have words. that whole day, she was just in awe of God. And that night she went to see us and told him the situation. So we don't know what our letting go of control means to someone else. And so that's the control one. Okay, one last one, number five. So fear, the focus of fear is the destination and the now. So it's my timing. The focus of, and then the focus of love is intimacy with God through the process and God's timing. And that's such an important thing for us to do, because God is doing, he does a work within us. He calls us to intimacy with him. He gives us picture, like glimpses of the future. And he's like, I can't give that to you now, because there's so many things that need to fall in place. Because if I give it to you now, the glory of what I'm going to give to you is going to possibly mean that you're going to make it an idol. You know, that was a big thing for me in my relationship with Stefan. I never had a father. So I always thought I'm going to idolize the man one day. You know, I was like, God, did you have to wait 10 years? You know, but, you know, it was God's timing. So it's just that fact of, okay, but Lord, what do you want to do in the process? You know, what do you want to do in my heart? I don't want it to be a quickened process of let's move on to the next season for the sake of ease of the suffering that I'm going through at the moment, because I know the suffering and the disciplining as a father is going to build character that's going to allow me to stand before kings one day. You know, it's going to allow me to withstand the gift that I have, not be overcome by the situation, you know, and especially in the workplace as well. You know, I think for a man, it can be such a challenge. You know, you have these visions, you have these goals, you have these dreams, but where you're at right now, it's just like, Lord, this is so not where I'm supposed to be, you know, and God's like, but in my timing, I will open the door for you and embrace what I have for you now. Serve the people, focus outward. Okay. So then in summary, fear is the carnal. Fear is self. It looks to self. And love is the spirit. So then we ask ourselves the question, but how do we move from this foundation of fear? Maybe you have, you know, actually seen some aspects to the fear and you think, sure, actually that is how I respond. And how do we move from fear to love? So let's read together from Romans 8. If you guys want to get to the scripture. So Romans 8 verse 5-17. I'm just going to read from 16. He says, For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, we move on to verse 12. Brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the Spirit, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness. Okay, blah, blah, blah. So there, you did not receive the spirit again of bondage again to fear. You know, fear resulting in control, fear of rejection, fear of having to take on, you know, of abandonment, fear of anything like that. But you have received the spirit of adoption by which we call out, Abba, Father. And it is only in a relationship with the Father through Jesus that we can have a true, real foundation of love and allowing us to walk confident. So the key aspect there is for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. So we have to see, are we being led by the Spirit of God? Or is it self that's leading us? So, yeah, as we said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. So I want to talk about the aspects of the Holy Spirit in terms of the Holy Spirit's significance. And if we look at the next slide, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Okay. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit for the work of the ministry. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness where Satan tempted him. He was crucified in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was raised from the dead by the power of the Spirit. Jesus gave commandments to the apostles. So if Jesus is our example, and we look at the things of what the Spirit has done through and in Jesus, should it not be the same for us? And what I want to focus there is the Holy Spirit has many names. He's the Spirit of life, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of freedom. But the one that he is and he will always be is the Spirit of adoption. And there's actually a connection in the Spirit that takes place when we enter into sonship through the Spirit of adoption. And that's the foundation of love that we have. And I just want to share for me, like I said last week, you know, my dad, we have an awesome relationship now, but, and he's saved and spirit-filled and it's amazing. But in those beginning years, I had such an orphan spirit. Everything was fear, you know, fear of would a man ever love me one day? Fear of, I've got to perform because my mom has sacrificed her whole life for me. My dad never contributed anything, so I've got to now perform in order to pay her back. You know, it was this thing of, what can I add, you know, for God to approve of me? And I just remember just so many times what would happen was the Lord would call me into the inner room through the Spirit. And like I said previously in Pretoria, but what would happen was often, I'm saying often, and this was because of my thing to control. I would get dressed up and ready to go to some function, whether it's a birthday party, a church function, a leadership church function that I had to be at, and I'd be driving and I'd be like 10 minutes away from the destination. And the Holy Spirit would say, turn around and I want you to go back home. I've got an appointment with you. I want to meet with you in your room. And I would go home and I would sit and I'd wait on God. And I'd just sit and I just remember how many times I'd get on the floor and lie. You know, that scripture like Ezekiel 16 says, I saw you in your blood and I delivered you. And I put a ring on your finger and I made you mine. I entered into a covenant with you and I put my cloak over you. I put my wing over you as a father. And I would lie there and I would literally feel an exchange of, but God, I'm from a divorced family. You know, the shame of my sexual past, shame of, you know, being too loud or being too this or being too that or not having this or not having that. And God would do an exchange. I'd lie there and I'd literally feel the Holy Spirit coming through the blood of Jesus, giving me honor, giving me purpose, giving me, you know, not that orphan spirit, but absolute adoption through him. And this was a process of 7 years. I went through absolute healing and understanding that I can walk confidently. There's no difference to me, you know, with the past, to the girl next to me that has the parents that are still married, that has the perfect father, that, you know, I have the same confidence to enter into boldness with the Lord. You know, I can walk in the freedom and have a peace to add value to anyone's life because I have allowed the Lord, I've allowed the Holy Spirit to come and exchange and allow through the blood of Jesus, come and establish certain things in my life. And I remember it was in 2010, we went to Israel and Israel is amazing. You guys really should go. I always thought it was just the Othanis that prayed a lot that wanted to go to Israel, you know. But it's literally the Bible that comes 3D. You know, you're like Mount of Beatitudes. It's not just a figure of a word. You know, there is actually a Mount, you know, of Beatitudes. Anyway, and we're sitting on the Mount of Beatitudes, and the guy that was our lead, our facilitator, was the message was about this thing of slavery and performance. And how God is not looking for what we can add to the table. We are not saved by works. We are saved through faith in him. And we, you know, this the fact that we can just stand and open up our arms. We just literally need to go, Lord, come. I open up my arms. I'm not shutting my heart off to your love because I was perfect at hardening my heart. I would determine with a valve of what blood would come in, what love would come in, what would come out, you know. Out. And anyway, I sat there and what happened was he'd finished the message and I was just overcome by the Holy Spirit and I was like, God, you've got to do something here, you know. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of performing. I'm tired of doing anything, you know, to try and get your acceptance or approval. And everyone had left. I was just sitting there alone and it was a quiet day. There was nothing much happening. And this, all of a sudden, this wind started stirring up from the right. And it literally moved like this gushing wind across me. And I was like, God's like, that's the Holy Spirit literally as a wind manifested to come across. And in that moment, there was a change in my heart of, I am adopted. It is done. It is finished. I am a daughter. I can stand boldly. I can walk boldly. And I still remember just after that, or just before, there was this little boy in Hebrew running after his father going, Abba, Abba. And I'm like, okay, God. Yeah, that's a sign. Yes. Okay. This is really what you're doing. And, the band can come up so long, but what I'm holding before you today is this thing of, it doesn't matter where your past is or what your background is. God has made a way for us to walk freely, to walk in confidence, not in ourselves, but confident in who He is. To be able to live a supernatural life, to be able to take a step of faith, to live an extraordinary life. But that's going to mean that those things that I said about fear, we're going to need to bring to God today. And we're going to need to say to Him, Lord, maybe my action is still to defend. I don't want to defend anymore. I don't want to have to, control. I want to lay down that surrender. I want surrender and trust to be the foundation of how I live my life. Or maybe fear is crippling you and allowing you to live a mediocre life. Just playing it safe. Like, that is not from God. God has called you in whatever measure it is that He's given you, the faith measure, to live out the fullness of that. And as well, for those that have had a past where maybe your father was present, but he was absent emotionally, and there's a place where today God wants to pierce your heart with His love. I actually felt the Lord saying that there's some of you that need to have a revelation of His love. Like you don't have a revelation of His love, and that's gonna, He's going to ask you to come forward because He's going to want to put His arms around you. And if you are an older man in this place, I want to encourage you to come and give hugs to the people, and just allow God to do the work that He needs to do. But in summary, I want us to read this together. The hide and seek. The Lord just gave me this little paraphrase or this paragraph. In summary, I'll read it first, where it just says, hiding under God's banner of love while seeking first His kingdom with peace, freedom, and confidence, allowing us to walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called. So I don't know if you can read it. Let's read it again. Hiding under God's banner of love. Okay. Let's all stand. I want to ask, first of all, if you need the spirit of adoption to come upon you today, and for you, there's a perfect Father that is so involved. He's not far off and in heaven. Through His Spirit, He's with us always. I want to ask you to come forward and to claim your inheritance today of being a son or daughter. And I want to ask you to first come and just stand on the right, my right, that we can pray strategically and we can just come and pray for that spirit of adoption, moving from an orphan, a rejected outcast, into absolute confidence and freedom in who my Father is and therefore who I am as an heir of with Christ, a daughter. You can start coming forward so long, but I then want to ask if there are people here that you have been, the spirit of adoption, you have entered into, you are a daughter or a son, but for you, there's still aspects of a foundation of fear. And there's certain things that you want to lay down or maybe you actually struggle with a spirit of fear. This thing that constantly comes and lies to you and accuses you. But what if this and what if that, and you will never. That is not God's voice. That is a spirit of fear, and God wants to deliver you today of that. There's specifically a man here that your earthly father's approval is exactly what you desire, and you're so fearful to respond to the voice of God because of disappointing your father, your earthly father. And when I said that thing of honoring God and being obedient to God, you're honoring your father, that resounded with you. And I want you to come forward as well. But specifically like me, where I was saved for 10 years and I didn't realize how much fear there still was in my life. And the last 2 months, the Lord has delivered me. I want you to come forward as well. All self-righteousness, all justification of control. The Lord is saying, I'm not interested in that. I want a child that will run into my arms, will jump off a mountain with me, that will leap. And I want you to come to my left. If there's an aspect of fear that you want to lay down, and I want us to sing that I exalt thee again. And then it's actually so awesome that we finished quite early, because I felt the Lord is saying he just wants to really minister to people. So I want us to just acknowledge this as a holy moment. And someone before the sermon in intercession actually saw a picture of me speaking, and it was like the salt that was coming from my mouth and it was falling on wounds. And sometimes when you put when you put salt in a wound, it burns, but it brings healing. And the Lord is saying, today is the day of your healing. Today is the day of your deliverance and restoration. So let's just give some time for that. But as we sing the song, I want the facilitators also to come with an expectation. I want you to come trusting God to see deliverance and to see healing in the person that you're praying for.
I will exalt you. Thank you.
Feel a specific word for someone as I continue to pray in the front. Psalm 42. I read from verse 6. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon and from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And then in the night, his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. And I just want to echo these two verses here. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And I want to encourage you that sometimes the circumstances around us feel like a roaring waterfall, and it feels like a tumble dryer or a washing machine that's just going over and over and over. I want to encourage you in those circumstances, allow God's love to wash you like a tumble dryer, like a waterfall. God says here that he will command his loving kindness. And there's also a place where you speak to your own emotions and say, be quiet, O my soul, and hope and trust in him. Even though the circumstances around us don't always look that way, even if we feel downcast sometimes, confess and say, Lord, I put my trust and my hope in you. Be real in front of God and bring it to him, and allow his loving kindness, allow his love to come and wash over us. Scripture says that there is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out all fear. We continue to press into that love of God because he does love us. As we pray for the last couple of people here, I'm going to close the service. We haven't taken up offering this morning. And I'll ask Philip just to have the offering baskets outside. Don't feel obliged to give. It's just an extension of our worship even. Don't tip God. Don't give him a tip because it was a good service or God ministered to you. Give out of whatever the conviction in your heart is. Have a blessed week. I'm going to pray for us. And go and be bold and courageous. Father, we just thank you for your freedom, God. I thank you, God, that there are people, God, that I want to have this desire in their hearts to dance this week, Lord, to dance in your presence, God. And I thank you, God, for those opportunities in the inner room, God, to freely just dance, guys and women alike, God. Thank you for a freedom to express, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for an unblocking of the wells, God. May your Holy Spirit burst forth from us, God, like a fountain of life. We recognize you as the source of our lives, God. We exalt you. We thank you for the freedom and the liberty that you've brought, God. And I just come and just say that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. For in Christ Jesus, if the Son has set us free, we are free indeed. And I just echo that over every person's heart and mind in this week, Lord. May Holy Spirit stir that within us, God, that we are free. As sons and daughters, we are free. Things that the enemy has come and accused us of, God, be quiet that and say, be quiet in Jesus' name. For we will yet hope and trust in the Lord. We thank you for your loving kindness, Lord. In In Jesus' name. Amen. And have a blessed week, guys. If you need any further prayer, unrelated to even this morning, please come forward and we'd love to pray with you. If you're visiting us, please help yourself with some coffee. We'd love to meet you. Amen.